The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Read it from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
One of the 12, who was called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you?" They paid him 30 pieces of silver, and from that time on, he looked for an opportunity to hand him over. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples approached Jesus and said, "Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?" He said, "Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says, my appointed time draws near. In your house I shall celebrate the Passover with my disciples.'" The disciples then did as Jesus had ordered and prepared the Passover. When it was evening, he reclined at table with the 12. While they were eating, he said, "Amen, I say to you, one of you will betray me." Deeply distressed at this, they began to say to him one after the other, "Surely it's not I, Lord." He said in reply, "He who has dipped his hand into the dish with me is the one who will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would be better for that man if he had never been born." Then Judas, his betrayer, said in reply, "Surely it is not I, Rabbi." He answered, "You have said so." The Gospel of the Lord. Even though it's painful and difficult to admit, we have to recognize the person of Judas Iscariot in the Bible. And we'd like to maybe sidestep it or maybe get some scissors and cut that picture out, but that would be falsifying the text. Why did he do it? I think a superficial interpretation of Scripture would be that Judas was the one that held on to the money. And St. John the Evangelist says very clearly that he was a thief. He would take from the money that was given to Jesus and them, and he would use it for his own purposes. Okay, we can't deny that's the truth, that Judas was a thief. He was avaricious. He cared about money. But I think that that's a superficial interpretation of the whole person of Judas. And I really believe that the interpretation given by Fulton Sheen is the best. He said this, "The reason why Judas betrayed our Lord is because he fell out of love with Christ." I'll repeat. He fell out of love for Christ. So the avaricious thief in Judas was simply a manifestation of a deeper problem. The problem is that he fell out of love for Christ. And I think it stands to reason that if we do not have a love for God, we will seek a false god. Because we're made to love God. We're made to be loved by God and to love God in return. Why is someone going to pursue drinking, pornography, drugs, eating, buying, casinos? Because that person is empty. The person is empty. There's an emptiness within. So instead of filling that emptiness with God, he's filling that emptiness with a false god. Call it an idol. Call it whatever you want. But the human heart is made for God. If we don't fill it with God, we're going to be filling it with a false god. The prophecy of the demise of Judas can be found in John chapter 6, verse 71. And Fulton Sheen, also in another one of his homilies, points that out. Some of you are probably thinking, well, what's that verse, Father? It's the last verse of one of the longest chapters in the New Testament. John chapter 6, there are two miracles. Jesus walks on water. Jesus multiplies the loaves. Then Jesus gets up in the synagogue of Capernaum and gives one of the most eloquent and moving sermons in the whole Bible. Here we have Jesus speaking close to 50 verses. And it's a discourse, I think you know what it is. It's called the bread of life discourse. Which he says, I'm the bread of life. Whoever eats my body and drinks my blood will have everlasting life, and I will raise him up on the last day. And he goes on to say, he who does not eat my body and drink my blood will not have everlasting life. Then we see the people complaining, saying, how can this man give us his body to eat and his blood to drink? They were scandalized. And they got up and left our Lord alone with a few of the disciples. Peter says, Lord, to whom shall we go? We have the words of eternal life. And the Lord said, isn't it true that I call you, but one of you is a devil? Referring to Judas Iscariot, who would betray him. So Fulton Sheen points this out. The fall of Judas is related to the Eucharist. The fall of Judas is related to the Eucharist. That last verse, related to the multiplication of the loaves, was a direct allusion, a prophecy to what was going to happen, what you heard today. So what you heard today, Jesus made the prophecy way before when he was given that discourse. So at the Last Supper, what happens? Jesus says that one of you will betray me, the one who dips into the plate with me and eats, it will be this person. And Judas does that. Then the gospel says, and the devil entered into Judas. I think we should meditate upon this with fear and trembling. And it's this. The book of Revelation says, you have lost your first love. You've lost your first love. Return to your first love, otherwise I will take the candelabra from you. Every time I read that, that scares the living daylights out of me. I almost want to jump over that. But you can't do that. You can't be selective in reading the Bible. You've got to read the whole deposit of faith. And I think that that's a real challenge for us. Face it, we can come to St. Peter Chanel and be comfortable, and there's a nice mass, a nice homily, and we got this and that. And we can become complacent. That's the danger. But I'll give you what I really believe to be the solution. This is what occurred to me in my meditation, my holy hour this morning. And it's this. If every day you can do an examine, a daily examine, and you're always going to be examining your life, but you're never going to do an examine in which you don't examine what is your relationship to the Eucharist. Okay, you're coming into Mass. Is your preparation better now than it was a month ago? If you can say no, you're in danger. You're in danger. If you can say that during Mass you're more distracted, you're thinking about what's for breakfast and this and that, in which you're more distracted during Mass and you're not focusing on every part of the Mass, you're in danger. If you find when you receive the Eucharist, you receive Communion, and shortly afterward, you may be focusing on me, who have my eyes closed, and I make my, and you're looking at me. That's bad. You're focusing on me and not on Jesus. No offense, no? If after Communion you don't want to make some type of thanksgiving, you're rushing out like Judas rushed out of the Last Supper. The others, they rushed out. Without any thanksgiving, I'm afraid. If you don't have a real yearning for presence with our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, or really want to make a good holy hour in front of the Blessed Sacrament, but rather you're drifting away, there's a danger of you've lost your first love. You've lost your first love. So I really believe this is a challenging homily for all of us. It's easy for us to be complacent and just to rest. That's not the lives of the saints that I've read. Saints are always striving for greater love for God on a daily basis. And that should be you. So let's pray that we'll be able to avoid the Judas complex. I call it the Judas complex. The Judas complex are what Catholics, they become complacent and lazy. You're going to receive the Eucharist today. You're going to receive the Eucharist today. This should be the most fervent communion in your life. It should be. Will it? I don't know. You pray for me and I'll pray for you. That we will grow to love God. This love for God will not be stagnant. We'll grow to love God, especially in the Eucharist, until the last breath of our life. Let's turn to the Blessed Mother. Mary always loved Christ. The love of Mary became more and more fervent every day. Let's pray that all of us, through Mary's intercession, would not fall into the Judas complex. Amen.